One of the biggest needs for the Detroit Pistons this offseason and going into the future is finding that starting level center for their team. Some Pistons fans want to know, why can't that be Isaiah Stewart? We'll talk about what Isaiah Stewart would have to do to become a starting level center for the Detroit Pistons in the future on today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast on our road to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Locked On with the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, if you want to find the best way to support, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. So, you guys know, I've talked about this a lot on the podcast for like the past year or so, especially over the last few months, that for me, finding that starting level center, finding that big guy of the future is on a high of my needs for the Pistons. It's number one actually for me, but I think just everyone should at least have it towards the top of their list of needs for the Detroit Pistons. And maybe not find their center of the future this offseason, even though they possibly could with DeAndre, and if the rumors are true, and they end up trying to legit go after him. But it could just simply be one for the next few years before you go somewhere else. Or does it have to be, concrete for the future? Just simply upgrading that position, I feel like, is a massive need for the Detroit Pistons. Despite that, though, there have been a lot of Pistons fans who have asked me, have went in the comment section on the YouTube channel, have tweeted at me over the past few months and said, Koo, what does Isaiah Stewart have to do for you to believe that he could be a starting center for the Detroit Pistons? What areas does he have to improve on? How good does he have to get for you to believe that he could possibly be the starting center for the Detroit Pistons? So for those of you guys who may have not heard my previous thoughts on Isaiah Stewart, maybe this is you guys' first podcast listening to. I do not think Isaiah Stewart is a starting level center. I don't think he's going to be a starting level center. I think he's a backup center. He could be one of the better backup centers in the league, and there's nothing wrong with that, especially for where he was picked. That's great value. That's fine. He can be a backup center. I think that's where he should be at. I think that's where his level of play warrants him to be at. And I think the Pistons would be cool with that. That doesn't mean I hate beef stew. It doesn't mean I think he should be all out of the league or off the team. I just don't think he's a starter. I think that's fine, though. He can be a backup. But to answer the question, what does Isaiah Stewart have to do to become a starting level center? Maybe not even just for the Pistons, but it's in the league. You guys have asked this question many of times. I'll try to answer it here. So a lot of people talk highly of Isaiah Stewart's defense. And listen, he's good on defense. But the way people talk about him is that he's like all NBA defender already. Like he's switching out on guards and just completely clamping them up. He's fine switching out on guards. He's better than most big men at switching out on guards. But one of the things that would have to happen for Isaiah Stewart, I believe, if you want to be a starting level center in the NBA, he legit would have to be close to an all NBA defender. Like he would legitimately have to be one of the 10 best defenders. Like he would have to be up in there getting votes for all NBA defensive first or second team, because the likelihood is his offense is never going to catch up. At least in my opinion, I don't think his offense is going to catch up to this. So in this scenario in which where his offense never catches up and his offense never really improves that much, he would have to be legitimately an all defensive type of center and impact the game immensely on that end. Do I think that's possible? Probably not. I think that's a little hefty to be asking for him to do. Do I think he could be a really good defender? Yes, but asking him to be an all-defensive first or second team, again, you're talking about probably the second or third best big man defender in the league. You're talking about over the likes of, Robert Williams, Rudy Gobert, all kinds of, like, I just don't see that happening for him. But if it does happen, that could be one possible pathway for him to be a starting center. Let's go to the other side of the ball. If he just remains like this on defense, where he's good on defense, he's all right on defense, yet he can improve a little bit. Let's say he improves a little bit, so he's pretty good on defense from where he already is. Like I said, he's nice on defense. Let's say he improves even more on defense. Not to that level, but just gets pretty good at it. What does he need to do offensively? There is a lot that he'd have to do offensively. I'm not going to lie to you guys. He'd have to do a lot. And this is why I don't believe in Isaiah Stewart being a starting center in the NBA. First of all, he's 6'8". He's very undersized. Now, I keep hearing people try to compare him to Draymond Green. You guys have to stop disrespecting Draymond Green. Draymond Green is arguably the best defender ever. He's one of the smartest players ever. He's one of the smartest defenders ever. He has fast hands, extremely fast hands. Isaiah Stewart does not. Like, stop comparing him to Draymond. Draymond is so much better than Isaiah Stewart. It's like, stop, please just stop. Okay, just stop with it. So he's undersized. He can't jump. He can't finish around the rim. He can't be a lob threat, and he can't shoot. Let me give you guys an idea of just how poor. Like, I don't think people truly understand, like, why I feel this way. Like, people, I don't feel like people have looked at the numbers. Let me just read this to you guys. On all shots around the rim that are not post-ups, this is just excluding post-ups. On all shots around the rim, Isaiah Stewart finished in the 24th percentile in the NBA. 24th percentile. That's awful. On 297 possessions, this isn't like on some small sample size either. This is 297 possessions, 24th percentile. Horrific. As your starting center, that right there is crippling. That, just off that, like, I don't even need to talk about his jump shooting. If your center is that inept at being able to finish around the basket or bring some kind of interior offense or interior threat to your team, your offense is, it's shot. It is what it is. There's nothing you can do. If you can't have a threat rolling to the rim on offensive putbacks, like even on offensive putbacks, he was poor. They Synergy ranked him as poor. He ranked in the 13th percentile on putbacks this past year. Even worse than finishing around the rim. If you can't put the ball back on offensive rebounds, you can't be a threat rolling to the rim, and you can't finish at the rim as a big man, as a starting center, your offense will be shot. It's dead. It's just over with. So he would have to improve immensely around the rim. I just don't see that as a possibility for him. But if you want to see him be a starting level center in the NBA, that's where it has to start right there. He has to get better touch around the rim. He has to find a better way to finish around the rim because he's not going to, you know, out-athlete a guy. It's just not going to be it. He can't really get up off the ground. So I don't know how he can do it, but that's something that would have to happen if you wanted to be a starting level center in the NBA. For those of you guys who want to know, can he do it? We believe in Stu. What does he have to do? That 100%. A lot of people would point to his outside shooting. No, it's not his outside shooting. It's not the mid-range shot at all. Your starting center cannot be that poor inside the paint. He just can't. It's impossible. Your offense will be destroyed if he can't finish in the paint, and is even worse on putbacks. It can't happen. Because his value is supposed to be how much he hustles or how much he plays hard, and it creates second-chance opportunities. Well, you know, he's not really creating second chances because when he goes back up, he's not finishing any of them. It's bad. So that is 100% his number one part that he needs to improve on if he ever hopes, Pistons fans ever hope for him to be a starting level center in the NBA. The other area, obviously I mentioned it a little bit, he had to become a better shooter. This past season, he only had 71 possessions where he took a jump shot. But in those 71 possessions, he ranked in the 36th percentile across the league. Not very good at all. This is the thing for me. He could become a fine shooter from beyond the arc on, like, okay attempts. But if he's still that bad inside the paint, it won't matter. Like, he'd have to get to, like, Dirk Nowitzki kind of stuff, Cat kind of stuff from beyond the arc for it to really matter if he's that bad of a liability inside the paint. Like, we're talking, like, 36, 37% on really good volume. So those are the areas that he'd have to get to if he wanted to be a starting level center in the NBA. Do I think he can get there? I don't think so. I don't think he's ever going to be a great finisher in the paint. I don't think he's ever going to be a tremendous finisher in the paint. I don't think he's ever going to be a lights-out shooter from beyond the arc. I do think he can be a really good backup in the NBA. I think he will be one of the better backups in the NBA. But for those of you guys who want to know, what does Isaiah Stewart have to do to become a starting center? He would either have to become one of the best defenders in the entire NBA, like top 10, to make up for his offensive capabilities, or insanely improve inside the paint as a threat and his finishing, or become an absolute knockdown of a big man shooter. One of those three things would have to happen. So let me know if you guys think any of those things are possible in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cougar. Again, I don't hate Isaiah Stewart, okay? Again, I don't want to make that clear. I think he'd be a really good backup center. This is not me hating Isaiah Stewart. That's because I have realistic expectations of him. I'm not putting the world on his shoulders. I mean, I hate him. I think he could be a really good backup center for like 10 to 12 years. I don't see what's wrong with that. So, again, let me know what you guys think about that over on Twitter or in the YouTube or in the comments down below if you're watching this on YouTube. When we come back, should Killian Hayes play in the Summer League? We'll talk about that when we come back from the ad break. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions so you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. And because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. And your Truebill concert is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and helps them save over $100 million. And like Matthew B. who says, quote, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 a year on my DirecTV bill, save $120 for the year on my SiriusXM bill, and save $840 a year on car insurance, end quote. So don't fall for the subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. Best way to support the podcast on the road to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Locked On that we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. I'd really appreciate it. Best way to support the podcast. Again, Locked On Pistons YouTube channel. All right. Killian Hayes, very controversial player for the Detroit Pistons. Kind of sad he is. Shouldn't be that controversial. We should all be rooting for him to be successful. He's 20 years old. But, you know, who knows? Should Killian Hayes be playing in the Summer League this upcoming season? So he's entering his third year in the NBA. And a few years ago, or actually last year, or I guess you could call it like, yeah, it would be technically considered last year, right? Sekou Doumbouya was heading into Summer League in his third season in the NBA, or entering into his third season in the NBA. And he was going to Summer League with the Detroit Pistons. And a lot of people were saying, oh, that's it. He's cooked. If you're a third-year NBA player going to the Summer League, you're done. It's over with. You're screwed. And I didn't agree with that then, even though Sekou didn't end up on the Pistons. That overall thought process that a third-year player being in the Summer League means that their career is already over, I completely disagree with that. So I 100% believe that – I think that Killian should play in the Summer League. I think at least like the first two games, like kind of like Sadiq did, maybe if he's just too good for it. Like if he just goes out there and just really shredding people like that, just play like the first two. I think Andre Drummond did it too, like play two games, dominated, like had like 30 and 20 or something, and then just didn't play the rest of the league. Like at least start Killian Hayes off in the Summer League. And I think there's no other player that it would make more sense to play in the Summer League than Killian Hayes. One of the things that we heard after the season in the exit interviews from both Killian and Dwayne Casey is that they wanted to get him in pro runs, wanted to get him in 5v5 action all offseason. They wanted to get him against, you know, in scrimmages, pickup, intense games to where he can actually test the things that he's working out on, go against high-level competition, see what's working, see what's not working, see what he has to improve on, counters, etc., all those things. And for someone, if you played basketball growing up, I'm telling you right now, the best way to get better, obviously, you need to put in work by yourself. No doubt. You have to put in work by yourself. But you're not going to – this fruit fly, I'm telling you guys, for the last few days, we've recorded the podcast. And this fruit fly, I swear to you, he comes out with his boxing gloves on. He's ready to fight every time I start to record the podcast. He's not anywhere to be found when I'm just sitting here playing the game or I'm not doing it. But when this podcast comes out, he puts the gloves on. He's ready. So he's out again. He's pissing me off. Anyways, Killian Hayes needs to get pickup runs in. Best way to improve, you need to put in work by yourself 100%. But you can put in all that work by yourself, but you can never test it against legit action, against high-level players, the same quality players as you, better players than you. You'll never know if that stuff you're doing alone is going to translate. You have to figure out what's translating, what you're not doing right, and some counters that you need to do. Like growing up, I always played against the older kids. I remember coming from middle school to high school in ninth grade, I went over to our main high school because ninth grade was separate from our high school. I remember as a ninth grader going over to the main high school and playing with the varsity players. And at this point, I'm tiny. I'm nowhere near as strong as these guys. I'm definitely nowhere near as good as these guys. And these guys are just taller than me as well. So when I got out there, one thing I quickly realized I need to do, and it's something I never would really pick up on, like just working on yourself by yourself, is that I have to find spots where, like, I'm going to finish something that I can be effective game at. So I would always spot up. I'd run off some screens. I'd make the right rotations behind the three-point line. I'd get some threes up. I'd get back, run in transition more, try to finish with my left hand more. Like, I'd work on those kind of things against these guys because I knew that they were high-level players, much better players than me, and would help me get better. And it's the same thing across all levels of play, whether it's, like, literally going back to elementary school, middle school, high school, college, NBA, overseas. Like, it's the same thing across all levels. The best way to get better is by playing against other high-level players in an actual game setting. So if that's what Dwayne Casey and Killian Hayes both said that he needed to do, and that's going to be a priority for him this offseason, why would you then not put him in summer league? Because of some pride? Because of some Pistons fans? Or because of some Pistons fans that may believe, oh, if you're in the summer league, look at this trash can. This must mean his career is over. It's done. Killian Hayes is a bust. We don't even care about his third team. Because of some what the fans may say? Some pride BS? No, it makes no sense. That's stupid. Screw the fans. If they want to be ignorant, they can be ignorant. But it makes no sense if like I said, if that's his number one priority from Casey, from Weaver, and Killian himself is to get running, get some running before summer league. Obviously, hopefully he's getting some running now. We know he's training right now. Hopefully he's getting running. When the summer league comes by, play in the summer league, some more extra pickup runs, some repetitions to get in. And then when summer league is over, go right back to playing pickup against some other dudes. Continue to work on yourself. I don't get why you would just pass up a very easy opportunity to play pickup. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I think Killian 100% should play in summer league. I think it makes a ton of sense, especially with what Dwayne Casey said they wanted him to do this offseason. In this summer league, what do I want him to do? If he does indeed play in summer league, I think the main, like, I'd be very frustrated if this wasn't like the message to him in these, not just summer league, but in all these other pickup sessions too. I'd be very frustrated. This isn't like the message that was sent to him by Weaver and Casey. We don't want to see, let me not say that. That's not the right wording. We don't need to see his passing or his kickouts or, you know, how he reads a defense. We know he can read a defense. He's really good at it. We know he's a damn good passer. We know he can make some damn good kickouts. We know that he's an intelligent passer, a very accurate passer, a very clever passer. Like, we know his playmaking abilities are not what needs to be worked on. We know his playmaking abilities are there. So we don't need to see that. The message to Killian in summer league and all the pickup sessions that he plays in this offseason, look to score. If you get blocked, you get blocked. If you miss, you miss. But every single time down the court, you should be looking to score. Now, does that mean every single time down the court in the NBA this upcoming season, you should be looking to score? No. But what he needs to be working on this offseason is purely keeping an aggressive mindset, fighting through when you get blocked, fighting through when you miss a shot, fighting through when you happen to miss a few in a row. Continue to go down and be aggressive and continue to work on these ISO skills that you've been improving on. You're finishing around the rim, you're outside shooting. He should be looking to score almost every time down the floor in every pickup run and every summer league possession if he does play in summer league, because that's what matters. Again, we don't need to see his passing. We don't need to see how he manipulates a pick and roll, really. We don't need to see how he can make the skip corner pass. We know he can do that. He shows us that. We know he can do that. What we need to see him do, and what Killian needs to see himself do on a regular basis, is his ability to score, is his aggressive mindset, to get that kind of mindset to where it's not something that just happens over a final 4 weeks four-week session of the season, to where that's something he's doing every time he touches the ball in his hands. I can cook this guy. I can go score. I'm going to go look to score. Oh, and I'm an incredible passer, so if I can open up a pass for someone else, then I can take it. But every single time down the floor this offseason, he should be looking to score every time. So if we got to summer league and he played and we were seeing him just make like routine passes, kickouts, no matter how great the passes were, the passes could be great. The passes could be absolutely insane reads. But I don't think anyone would really care, because we know he can make those insane reads. We want to see him go out there and shoot. And like I said, I said this last year with him. I'll say it again this year. In summer league, I don't care if he shot 20 times and shot 42%. I don't care if he shot 30 times and shot 38%. I want to see him at least get 15 shots up if he does play in a summer league game. Like, he needs to be getting shots up quickly. Like, it shouldn't even be a thought. Like, he needs to be getting those kind of shots up that he was getting up at the end of the season this past year. So that's why I stand with Killian Hayes in the summer league. Let me know what you guys think. Should he play in summer league? What do you want to see from him in the summer league? Do you guys agree that that's the kind of mindset that you want to see from him if he does play in the summer league? Again, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cooker Hill. When we come back, Grant Hill has a book coming out. The Detroit Free Press just wrote an article on Mari Sankofa II. Just wrote something about Grant Hill, an interview that he had with him. So that sparked a lot of conversation about Grant Hill in the Pistons community. And I want to answer the question, should Grant Hill have his jersey retired with the Detroit Pistons? We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, let me tell you a little bit about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's basketball championship matchup, the NHL Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing. BetOnline is a continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net, again, you'll see that it's more than just basketball, baseball, boxing, and football. You got golf, hockey, martial arts, soccer, tennis, and all kinds of other sports. And then if you go over to the basketball section, you click the NBA series, you will now see that just a few days ago when we recorded this last podcast, it wasn't looking so bright for the Warriors. The Warriors, I believe, were plus 220. Heading into Monday night, they're looking at minus 138 to win the series. I told you guys to take the plus 220 when they were underdogs to win the series last week. Now they're favorites. You guys can still get in at a decent line here and take the Warriors to win the series. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. But that's the kind of thing you can do over at BetOnline.net. Again, make sure you guys are constantly checking out their website or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. On our road to 3,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On will be the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. All right, so Grant Hill. I feel like Grant Hill, you know, obviously this was like before my time. Like, he got drafted before I was even born, obviously. So now it's not even like really before my time. It legitimately was before my time. So I wasn't around for that era. I don't know much about it. I'm not some expert at that era. But when you think, if you ask someone from my generation about Grant Hill, I think the first thing people think of is the teal jerseys, the horse logo. Like, I think that's immediately the first thing that pops into people's heads if you say, like, of my generation, if you say Grant Hill. But now that I've gotten older, and especially since now Grant Hill has his book coming out, and now he's being interviewed by Detroit News or the Detroit Free Press, and actually over this past season, Grant Hill interacted with a lot of Pistons fans over this past season. He actually started to talk about the Pistons a little bit over this past season. I hadn't really seen him talk about the Pistons a lot before then. And it kind of seemed like that he was trying to reconcile that relationship with the Pistons and was like slowly like working himself back into the Pistons franchise. And now it seems like he's full on trying to do that. And now there's conversation that he needs to have his jersey retired by the Detroit Pistons. Today he tweeted, he was talking about why he actually left the Pistons. I know in the interview with the Detroit Free Press, they kind of speak to that Joe Dumars was kind of lukewarm on even bringing Grant Hill back. So it wasn't just Grant Hill leaving. So, but that's a story for a different day. Question is, should Grant Hill have his jersey retired with the Detroit Pistons? You guys know the historian of history itself, Keith Black Trudeau, that I talk about in the podcast every now and then. He guest on the podcast like last year, I believe like 13, 14 months ago, and gave us a history lesson going all the way back to how the Going to Work squad was put together, Bad Boy, all this stuff. So I know he's probably going to be frustrated about my answer here because he's a big Grant Hill guy and he's going to probably try to give me a history lesson here and try to teach me some stuff. And that's fine. He can try to do that. But I don't see how you can put Grant Hill in the Hall of, not the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame. How you can put Grant Hill in the rafters with the Detroit Pistons. I'm not going to lie. And here's why. He only played in 6 years with the Detroit Pistons. Now, some of you guys may go look at some of the guys that were on the going to work squad and say, well, cool, they only spent like 5-6 years with the Detroit Pistons. They didn't spend like 10 years with the Detroit Pistons. And you would be fine in saying that. That'd be true. For example, I believe Chauncey, let me just double check this real quick. Chauncey played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons with the Pistons before he was eventually traded to the Denver Nuggets. So, yes, you don't have to play 10-plus years to get your jersey retired with the Pistons. That's fair. But the thing that's going with Chauncey, that's not going with Grant Hill, is the fact that every single year that that Chauncey played with the Detroit Pistons, they made the Eastern Conference Finals. That wasn't happening with Grant Hill. And not only did they make the conference finals each year with Chauncey, they won a championship with Chauncey as arguably their best player. And Chauncey has an NBA Finals MVP with the Detroit Pistons. I'd say that has a shit ton to do with why Chauncey Billups has his number up there in the rafters with the Detroit Pistons. Another player, you want to do Ben Wallace? That's fine. That's another player who only played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons with the Detroit Pistons. Well, you know, Ben won 4 Defensive Player of the Years when he was with the Detroit Pistons. Again, he was part of the team that went to 6 straight Eastern Conference Finals. He was part of the team that won a championship. Again, you don't have to play a long time with the team if you have those kind of accolades with the team and you get team success like that. Sadly, for Grant, the Pistons didn't have any playoff success. Now, I know that's coming. Well, you know, the Pistons didn't build around him. They didn't do a good job getting him a team. That can all be true. I'm not saying that's not true. That can all very well be true. But it's kind of one of those things that's like, shit, hey, tough luck. Like, it's that kind of thing there. And like, I'm sorry to say it. Like, yes, you didn't get your team built around you the best way possible. If you would you have had more success? Yeah, you would have. But you didn't. It didn't happen. And you only spent 6 years with the franchise. You left in a controversial way that a lot of Pistons fans, no matter, you know, there are people who defend his decision. He's going to come out and probably speak. He's going to speak his truth in the book and say he probably didn't want to leave the Pistons like that. It wasn't as like bad as it was. But in a lot of fans' mouth, in a lot of fans, how they taste, how it tastes to them is that it was a bad leave. And people have held that against him. I've seen a lot of people talk about that with him leaving Detroit. So you combine all of that. Also earlier, I was trying to say leave a bad taste in their mouth, and I was very much stumbling and trying to figure out how to say that. I don't know why I like had a brain fart there with that. But anyways, if you don't have playoff success, like they didn't win a singular series with Grant on the Pistons, and then you also don't spend a long time with the franchise, and then also a lot of fans feel like you left the team unceremoniously and like it wasn't like great how you left. I seriously just don't see how he can be in the rafters. I really don't. There's already people that feel like that Rip shouldn't be in the rafters. There's people that don't feel like some of those guys from the 04 team should be up there because it should be the absolute elite of the elite. So if people are arguing about Rip being up there, there's no way in living hell I can say Grant Hill should be up there for the reasons I just laid out. So, but I will say that was Grant Hill probably the most talented Piston ever? He's up there. He probably has an argument to be number one. Isaiah Thomas, obviously, up there. Blake, his one season with the Pistons was up there. Grant Hill probably has an argument to be the most talented Piston ever. Was he amazing when he was with the Pistons? 100%. He was great. He was fantastic. He was absurdly good. He was a 5-time All-NBA member. He was a great player for the Detroit Pistons. But he didn't stay here that long. They didn't have no playoff success at all. And he left the team on somewhat bad terms, according to a lot of fans. Like, I just don't see how you can really say that guy should be in the rafters for the Pistons. So that's where I'm at with it. Let me know what you guys think. Should Grant Hill be in the rafters with the Detroit Pistons? Do you guys think that he played good just because of his raw skill set, his raw talent, and what he brought skill-wise to the Detroit Pistons, that he should have his number up there? Let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill. But that's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Make sure you guys are making Locked On NBA Big Board your second listen of every single day. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look at the NBA Draft, Mock Draft, player rankings, and of course, the big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Thank you guys for listening today. Enjoy the NBA Finals game tonight. Steph Curry, Finals MVP, Warriors are winning it. You know where I'm standing with it. Let me know where you guys are leaning. Do you guys think Boston or Golden State wins it now that it's 2-2? Let me know that over on Twitter or in the comment section down below. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Peace out. Stay safe, everybody. Go Pistons.